Blog Talk Radio.
day in and day out. God, we just ask you to cover us, keep us, and just do all that only you can do and only you're going to do. God, we ask you to just cover our houses, our family. God, teach us how to accept what you allow. Teach us how to just stay before you, on our face before you at all times, God. Teach us how to pray at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I say, tonight we're going to talk about scenarios. Let's start off with our motto of this Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron program, which this title of the program is called Let's Talk. So let's talk, you all. Our foundational scripture, I'm going to turn to it, is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first scenario I want to talk about is parents. A lot of us have children out here, and I've seen this myself, and I've witnessed this myself, and I have heard different family members and friends say, myself, I wish somebody would. My child don't act like that. I wish somebody would say something or touch my child because my child don't act like that. I wish somebody would say something about my child, the way they carrying on out here themselves. They don't know my child. So with that being said, I sat back and heard some people say, I'll be so glad when school opened up so my kid can get back inside of them. But just a little while ago, a couple of months ago, when the teacher was saying, or the babysitter was saying, or daycare was saying, or the counselor was saying that your child acts out, speaks out, very inappropriate. And you say, not my child. I don't know who you talk about, but my child don't act, child. Mm-mm, that's not my child. My child knows better. But sometimes we have to sit back and think about what have we taught our children other than to sit down and look at the programs I look at on TV, to sit down and listen to the music that I listen to, and ask them, how does outfit look on me? Now, point of view, because I can't speak from a father's point of view. I can just tell you what my father did in our house, how he was a provider, a protector, and he was unreasonable, I would say, because with my house, after you got a certain age, our father didn't allow you to sit on his lap or lean on his back or head on his leg to go to sleep or sit up under him. Our father didn't allow that. Because we were of a certain age, we were starting to develop and mature. He didn't allow that. So that's another story. I may get back to it. But when we have children, we think they know stuff that they don't. I have to pause right there. They know when not to say something, and we think they know when to say something, and we think they know how not to act. But they don't. We look at our kids and be like, I wish my child would embarrass me. But because we don't put no restraints out there and we don't put no, barriers, they will embarrass you. The Word of God, I'm going to pick this up right here and I'm going to read to you Proverbs 22:6. Y'all know the scripture. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 22:6 say, we must train up a child in the way they should go. So if you don't want your child to go around feeling that you are their friend, instead of you just being friendly by explaining things to them in a parently way, child in the way that they should go. If you want your child to understand that there's a limit to how they're going to treat you, talk to you, and react with you, you must train up your child in the way they should go. I remember growing up hearing a teacher say, child is 7 years old, they already got their way. By the time a child is 10 years old, they're already set in their ways. So by the time a child gets 12, preteen, going to 13, they feel like they know their way. So you have to go back when that child was an arm baby and a lap baby and start telling that child how far they can go. You have to start speaking life into them. When our children are growing up, me and my sisters and brothers, children were growing up, she don't call them by their name. She would say, hey, Dr. Merritt, hey, Dr. Harris, hey, Judge Wright. She would give them titles, especially after she talks to them and find out what they want to be. And she would call them by that name, so that they will get used to hearing that name and then they will start picturing themselves as such a person because they've been trained to live this life, expect this lifestyle, so that when they go to looking up stuff, they say, well, I want to be a doctor. Then they get to start looking into what it takes to be a doctor. I want to be a judge. They start looking at what it takes to be a judge. Or I want to be a nurse, they start looking at what it takes to be a nurse. I want to be a business owner, they start looking at what it takes to be an entrepreneur, a business owner. They start looking into that as well as she will speak that life over them and help them out throughout their lifestyle. And I started looking at the way she was doing it and how it was getting a hold because she started with her own child. And I said, because, you know, if you call your child stupid, silly, and foolish, that's what they're going to basically grow up to be because they're going to say, nobody has expectations of me, so why should I expect to be anything other than what I've been told? Because, you know, their first training comes from in the house. Either you're going to train the child in a proper way or you're going to train the child in whatever it takes away. And then when you do that, don't get mad at them when they grow up and decide they want something and you don't give it to them. And they say, well, whatever it takes. You know that old saying we used to say, hook or crook, I'm going to do what I need to do to get it. So back to Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So if you're training them up to be respectful as they get older, they're going to still be respectful. I have the same sister. She always say, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And we have this auntie that was I'm irritated is a good word. Irritated, she said to my sister, stop saying that to me. She said, my sister would say, yes, ma'am. You don't have to say it to me like that. Just say yeah or no. She would say, yes, ma'am, I will. She would constantly, continually say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. I don't care if you work, if she's your supervisor or if you're her supervisor, she's going to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, because she wants to display respect because she believes I'm going to get what I give. She always say, I accept what God allows. So if you cannot allow yourself to give respect, you can't get respect. So it is back to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So now that we know that that works, we're going to train up a child in the way that it should go. Because, see, I'm going to tell you, talking with my sister earlier today, we was talking about when we went to school. We went to Byler, and we had this, you could call them a hall monitor, security, or whatever you wanted to call them. But at Byler Elementary School, 3130 West Walnut Street, the children in that school tried, but we didn't. And this all gonna come together later, so just hang in there with me. We had a hall monitor named Mr. Cook. That name gave me shivers to this day. Let me tell y'all about Mr. Cook. I hope he ain't around. Now, Mr. Cook was built like a fire hydrant. He was solid, the shade of this. Mr. Cook had muscles on top of muscles, under muscles. But with his T-shirt on, just imagine Mr. Cook looked like Mr. Brown. And Mr. Cook used to walk around with his shorts on. And yeah, Mr. Brown. Mr. Cook, that's how he looked. But see, most discipline officers had a belt or a ruler. Or they would have a point stick to point at you. That ain't what Mr. Cook had. Mr. Cook had a fan belt that was cut in half. And Mr. Cook didn't mind using that fan belt and told your parents, if you raised them at home, I wouldn't have to raise them here. So after a while, the parents didn't mind Mr. Cook disciplining your kids because those kids learned how to act in school. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. If you know you and you know how your kids act, why would the teacher tell you your child act like this or act like that, or the daycare or whoever, why do you get upset because they told you about your child? Because your child is really representing you, representing your household, representing what's going on in the household, what they're getting out of the household. So when you look at what's going on and what's been said, that maybe your child is doing what they said. Thank you, Minister Margot, for joining in. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about me. So, see, I know how I was when I was a child. That's why with my parents, they raised me up in the way that I should go. That when I got old, I didn't depart from it. I was taught to respect my elders. I was taught to keep my feet in church. I was taught that children, that I heard them say it, but not so much that children were to be seen and not heard. That's not what we were taught. We were taught that if we had a disagreement, that we would say, excuse me, and wait for them, the parents, to acknowledge you before you would speak. We didn't run up and say, I got something to say, or we didn't run up and just blurt out. We said, excuse me, and we stood there patiently with our hands folded politely in front of us and waited. We wouldn't dare get tired of waiting and forget it and walk off. You may have woke up in a coma, or you may have woke up drinking your dinner from that day on. We didn't try it because we knew our boundaries. We knew how far to go. not how far we should go to go. And we just, there was one avenue that we never took. Because in our house, it was do what I say when I say it. Not do what I say when you feel like it. You do what I say when I say it. And once they acknowledged you after you said, excuse me, you would say, I would like to know if I can ask a question. And they may say yes or not now, I'll talk to you later. And you had to abide by those rules. But what I see now and hear now, people think it's cute for their children to mimic them or dress like them or do like them. But I don't know who it's cute to. This is me, my personal opinion. If I walk up in a store, you know, I hear people say, ooh, you see that little white boy over there acting like that? I would do this to him. I would do that. Oh, you would? Well, I see your daughter over there telling you, oh, you're going to get this for me. You're going to buy this for me because I told you I want it. Oh, okay. But I'm looking at, you don't have no job. Yeah, I said it right. You don't have no job. You don't have no money you're putting in this house. Everything concerning you in this house is bringing out, coming out, taking out, and what you want to get out. So when I'm saying that, I'm saying to this, don't wait till the schools open back up to push your kids on the teacher. At this time when we're in the house and we're learning how to communicate, we're learning how to discipline. We're learning how to pray with and for one another. We're learning how to allow our children to express themselves, but at the same time, we're giving them boundaries. We're letting them know you're going too far. Or as the old folks would say, you done went too far now. At this time, learn how to set up that level of respect and learn how to pray, like I said, not just to one another and for one another. Learn how to pray and communicate with God so that God could teach you how to open that place up, especially if it had never been opened before or never had been reached or tried. Like you say, Sylvia, yes, you know your child. You really do. Because if you got a snap lip, you know your child got a snap lip. You're the first, and most important. That's it. That's it, Mr. Margot. You're the first and most important teacher of your child's life. The ministry starts at home. So if they're going to lift this corona, pandemic, you know what I'm saying. If they're going to lift it and the children are coming back to school, now you all don't forget this, and they're going back to daycare or wherever they're going, after school program or whatever. Don't forget this. Teachers are people too. Just like you've been under stress and worrying about how you're going to pay for this and how you're going to pay for that and how you're going to do it. Teachers have the same will, wishes, wants, desires that we do. But don't no teacher wants to be disrespected. When they're taking the time out to get educated to teach your children. Now imagine what the teacher's been going through it because you just got a little imp and you're supposed to be homeschooling your kids. So if you can't keep their attention with homeschooling and keeping them to sit out and do their work on their little laptop that they was giving freely, hopefully y'all ain't breaking his head up because you know they're going to make you pay for it. Hold on to that stimulus because you may have to give it up for a reimbursement. I'm back to saying what I was. If you can't get them to sit down and stay dedicated and interested in the homeschooling program that you were given for them to do, imagine what the teachers is going to. All day is like, shut up, sit down, don't do that. Shut up, sit down, put that back. Shut up, sit down, go back to your seat. Shut up, sit down, why are you over there? I saw you, I didn't see them. Why are you always talking back? If your if you're the home teacher, the homeschool teacher, and you don't want to deal with it in the house, just imagine what the teachers is dealing with at the school that has to deal with them, that said, you know what, I don't know how to do this no more. No adult deserves to be, that's right, Mr. Margo, no adult deserves to be disrespected, whether you're the teacher or you're the next door neighbor. In our neighborhood growing up, I want to say when I was a kid, I used to get angry. But as I got older and I thought about it, I thank God for the Miss Powells and the Miss Franklins and the Miss Wilsons and the Miss Jones and the Miss Haynes and the Miss Collins and the Miss Fords and the Miss McCords. I thank God for them old ladies, the Miss Schaefer, that will holler out the window and tell on you. That's right, Marvin, message says, with 30-plus kids. Uh-huh. 30-plus kids, and you can deal with the, I ain't going to say one, your two or threes or your fours or fives, however many kids you got. But they not only dealing with, they dealing with 30 different-plus kids that belong to somebody else, that has to deal with what the streets is teaching them, that has to deal with what the TV and the videos and all this other stuff is teaching them, and the stuff that they're learning from you because you didn't take the time out to teach it. I'm not pointing the finger at nobody. The old saying is, if the shoe fit, wear it. What I'm saying is, when the limits are lifted and your kids are going back to school, let your kids see you walk up in that classroom and tell that teacher, if you got the nerve or heart to say, I'm sorry for all that you had to deal with, but here's my number, right here, here's my number. Call me at any time, day or night, if you have any problems with my kids. I don't care how many you got, how many teachers they got. Give those teachers your number and tell them it's okay to call you. And when they do call you, don't be so busy. Or if you are not able to talk to them, let them know you'll get back with them. Because what I'm going to say is, one thing we've learned during this time is who we are, whose we are, and what we provided this world with, how they're acting. If you get it at home, I'm telling you, the teachers are getting it way more. And then, see, when your kid come home to you, you're dealing with them from that point. But when the kids leave the teacher, guess what? The teacher's day don't end. Y'all think about this. I just thought about it. They got to go home and grade their papers. They got to go home and come up with the next day curriculum. They got to put the program together for the whole week. They got to make sure that everything is done for the end of the week testing, for the pop-up test, the pre-test. Their day isn't done. But when they go home, they're expected to be mothers, wives, husbands, aunties, uncles, daughters, sons. They expect, depends on who they have to take care of. Let not be a wife or a husband that has kids and a sickly parent or a sickly child. They got to go home and do all that too. And stop saying that my child will not say anything. That's right, Ma. Stop saying my child will stop saying anything. Because when the teacher go home, they have an end, because once they have to put up with the day's lesson and attitudes and everything that happened, now they have to go home and say, okay, God, calm my spirit down that I can go home and be what I need to be. Because if you put the shoe on the other foot, say your loved one, your spouse, was a teacher, and they came home and you had to deal with all the mess they just had to deal with, I don't know if your marriage would take it on a daily basis, because 9 out of 10, you tired of hearing what they had to go through instead of you praying with them or for them. This time that we have been in, it wasn't just to teach us about our children. Y'all better look at this. It taught your children about you. Your children found out if you were consistent. Your children found out if you were dedicated. Children found out if you said out your mouth was for real. You know, we always say, a child can look at you and they can detect if you were, we always want to put that on somebody else, but your kids found out something in the house. Your kids found out what all you doing, you ain't doing. A lot of stuff that we were doing or we are doing in front of our kids shouldn't see. Our kids are not our friends, and they shouldn't be our BFF. Our kids should not be in our business and know my ins and outs, my do's and don'ts, my wills and wants, my cans and can't. Our kids should know that. Kids should know is you are my child, and I gave you instructions, you follow them. Now, when your kids get to know you, don't get upset if you find out they don't even like you no more. I once heard a young man on the street. I was visiting somebody in a neighborhood I went by to see him. And this young man was slapping this woman. I mean, he was slapping this woman like he was trying to slap the taste out of her. And I just couldn't believe. I said, that boy is so disrespectful, the way he treating that lady like that. And the girl that I was visiting, she was one of my motorcycle riding buddies. We was going to go riding. She say, girl, there ain't no any girl. I said, huh? She said, there ain't no any woman he's hitting on. That all goes on all the time. She said, that's why we don't even speak to him or mess with him. I said, why not? She said, girl, that's his mama. His mama? He treating his mama like that? She said, yeah. Because of the things she have allowed her son to see. Because of the things she have allowed her son to do. He has no respect for his mother. And I was like, wow. So I saw him some time later, and I said, man, you was treating that lady like that? You know, I didn't want to let him know I knew it was his mom. He said, look, when a young man loses respect for his mother, ain't nothing she can do. And that dawned on me, when he loses respect for his mother, his parents, he has no respect for nobody else. So during this pandemic time, we had a lot of time to reflect. We had a lot of time to get back on our knees. We had a lot of time to just repent. What you say, Sylvia, I do it all the time. Yes. We have the time to repent. We have the time to ask our children for forgiveness. You know, I used to say, go back to your children and tell them you're sorry. But I was educated by my sister that said, stop telling people that. What I mean by educated, hold up, don't turn me off and go to your children and say, I want to apologize. Because an apology is nothing you're sorry about. An apology comes from the heart. I am apologizing to you for what I didn't do. I'm apologizing to you for what I didn't teach you. I'm apologizing to you because I did not keep you in the Word of God. I'm apologizing to you because I did not teach you that with Christ all things are possible. I'm apologizing to you because I didn't teach you that if you pray and ask God, and you trust and believe in God, that he will see you through. I didn't teach you that God has everything you need. I didn't honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days shall be long on this green earth that the Lord has given thee. I didn't teach you that God says, suffer not the little children to come unto me. I didn't teach you that God is God no matter what. He's able, and if he don't do it, it's not that he can't. It's just that he chooses not to do it. I didn't teach you that God's will, his way is his way, not ours. I didn't teach you that we don't put God on a time limit. We don't tell him when we want something done. We put our requests up before him, and then we patiently wait on the Lord. We stand and wait on the Lord to see the salvation of the Lord. I didn't teach you that God is our everything. God is our all in all. God is our redeemer. God is our provider. God is our protector. I didn't teach you to depend on God. I didn't teach you how to go to God and tell him your secrets, that you won't hear him again. I didn't teach you to say it again, wait on the Lord, to wait on his change, to wait on his provision, to wait. I didn't teach you that. I didn't teach you from Genesis to Revelation. I didn't teach you. I apologize for not doing what I should do. And if your kid seems to be hard and not willing to accept it, you stay before God. You constantly keep telling your children how much you love them. Ty, we learn to say, I love you. Some of us learn to say other things. But we're going to ask God to teach us how to ask you to forgive us for even being in that place. We're going to ask God to teach us how to want to be a family again. We're just going to stay before God because, see, this thing isn't over. You have been, yeah, children that teachers are just that, teachers. When somebody goes to school, they pay or they earn a scholarship or whatever, but they go to school to learn how to teach you. Do you know what kind of love that person has to have in their heart? To want to teach your children, as Marvin said on here earlier, 30 plus children to one teacher that may have an A and may not. And 9 out of 10, the child will listen to the teacher's aid before he listens to the teacher. And if I'm not mistaken, the teacher is the one standing up there with a master's degree, if not a PhD. If I'm not mistaken, that the one that have authority, we all don't always want to listen to the one that have authority over us. And if you have, just say they send homework home, because I know I said to my son, I said, what kind of homework is this? I ain't never seen nothing like this. They sit at homework home talking about how your mama, your dad, your parents help you out. I went to the school. I didn't get mad at my son. I went to the school and told the teacher, you need to hold a class with me. I need to learn how to teach this to them. So if you find it hard for you to teach the child the extra they want you to bring home to learn, ask the teacher, open up that line of communication with that teacher that you could teach your child. Because when you show your child you're willing to work with the teacher, your child won't sit back and say, what? My parent up here talking to the teacher about how do you do this? You have to show your children that you have an open heart and an open mind. Okay, let me get this other scripture I want to read to you. Where is it? Down. Okay. Over here it says, I'm going to read from Ephesians 6, 1 through 5. So I read this before, but I'm going to read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admiration of the Lord. Now, with that being said, you could tie that back into train up a child in the way that they should go, that he may not, when they get old, they may not depart from it. Because when, again, when you don't set examples, positive examples for your children, they definitely will go the opposite way, the other way. When you live a life of willing to be taught, that even when you get older and you know that you didn't do, or you come to the understanding that you didn't do it, you could have did it a little better, you got to understand that our world can be a much better world. Because I was listening to something on the Facebook the other night, and this pastor had broke it down. He said how a dollar in a Jewish community lasts 30 days, and the Asian community it lasts 22 days. and the Hispanic community, it lasts 6 days. But in our community, in the Black community, a dollar lasts 6 minutes. And when he said that, I said, if we could do more to teach our children how to be on fleek, how to look good, and how to lay the shoes and the best hair and the best eyelashes and all of that, if we could teach our children more than that, do you know how often our children would achieve? They would have dreams other than to be ghetto fabulous, how they would reach out to want to be more than a rapper. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm saying they will reach out, they will set goals, because if you make a goal and one thing don't work, you'll be willing to try something else. You would want to double major. If you don't go away to a four-year university, you'll go to a junior college like Malcolm X has. It's in the medical district. It has for learning for medical, whether it's from nursing, radiology, whatever. It's under medical. And you have Kennedy King and Oliver Harvey and Daly. Each junior college in Chicago now has different specialties. You can't go to one and take up everything. You now go to different ones, even the Wright College. You go to different ones because they specialize in certain things. And then you can go from there. You can learn how to be dedicated at what you're trying to do. So I'm saying all that to say that when this pandemic is over, be willing to let your kids see you go and apologize to the teacher, and be willing to work with the teacher to work with your child. Because when your child is willing to be obedient and willing to, who will literally reach out and make a way for your child to go to school. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Because of the way I rose, I have brought my child up. That his teacher, and I love this lady to this day, she put my son in a program that he was able to go to called C2C, and it was first generation. He got in the program, and at the end of the program, let me go back, he started in grammar school. He would go away every summer to this college, university, for training. And when it got to the time he got in high school, they followed him through. So they said by the time he's in his senior year, they're going to select. It wasn't just him. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't just him. It was a number of children. They were going to select certain children to receive scholarships. But because of what I was taught as a kid and what I put in him, I made sure that I taught him and make his request known to God that whatever he wanted, before he shared it with me or anyone else, he would take it to the Lord in prayer. And because he did that, at the end of the 4 years of high school, plus the prior years from grammar school going through this program, my son was given a free ride to school because his grades was where they needed to be. And because God had blessed him, that somebody's heart was touched to not only get him in the program, but to help me, to help him go through the program. And then God touched the school's heart, private university. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God, what God did for my son, because my son knew how to pray and ask God for the gift. So he was able to go to a private university that you go to this school by invitation. They invite you to come to this school. And I was like, oh, wow. And he went there free. And he graduated last year, and I thank God for that, because God says that if you are willing and obedient. Basically, you will eat the good of the land. God says, if you are a child that obeys and honors your parents, he gave promise. He gave promise. And that was one promise I thank God I lived to see, because he obeyed, he honored his mother and his father. He honored us. He was not a disobedient kid. He was a good kid. I'm not saying he never get mad at me. Yes, he did. But he never said nothing. I could just tell by his expression, because I know my child. Minister Margo said, you know your kids. Sylvia said, you know your kids. You know your kids, because I did never play with my son. I wasn't his friend today, and I wanted to be his mama tomorrow. No, I was his mother all the time. I didn't play with my son. I didn't do certain things in front of him, but I did allow him to see different places I went. If I went to places that he couldn't go, I didn't go to him, because I didn't need to be there in the first place, if he wasn't welcome, because I didn't need to be no place that I couldn't take my child. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, with that being said, just remember, our motto is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Tonight, I just wanted to make sure I talk to the parents about the children and the things we need to do for our children. We need to let our kids see us in a different light for those of us that had not been in that light. Our children are watching. They're listening. They're smarter than you think. And if you allow your child to be your Facebook friend, they may be seeing something they shouldn't see. Or if they are seeing something on your Facebook page, make sure it's something that won't embarrass them or embarrass you, because your kids only go by what they see, what they talk. So I used to hear people say, do what I say and not what I do. That's not how I work with children. Children are robots. They are tape recorders. Now they're media source. They do what they see, and they see what they're going to do. With that being said, good night, and know this. I just want you all to believe God is able. It's going to happen that God don't allow. Real quick before I finish, I was telling you all about Mr. Cook when I started reading the posters. Mr. Cook reminds me of Mr. Brown, but Mr. Cook was such a man that when he walked in the hall of the school, you would know Mr. Cook was there. It was one day in school, I thought Mr. Cook wasn't going to be there. And I was like, ooh, because he went on post. I said, Mr. Cook ain't here. And we decided we was going to act up in school, me and some friends. Baby, we looked up, found out Mr. Cook had been in a meeting. We was walking through that hall. You could hear our shoes squeaking. And I don't mean because the floor was shiny. You could hear our shoes squeaking. But that's what we need in our schools and we need in our homes. We need some Mr. Cook that we have to put discipline back in the house. I'm not saying be the child. Sometimes the best thing you can do is teach a child. Teach your child that respect starts at home and respect should follow you throughout the house. Whether you're leaving out, you're going to school, wherever you spend most of your time, consider that as your house. Respect your teachers. Respect the other people in the school, whether it's your coworkers, you know what I mean, your classmates or the teachers' coworkers, them all. So with that being said, I'm just asking God to bless everybody on the video tonight that's looking now or later, and asking God to just cover your houses, cover you, keep all harm, evil, danger, and death from you. Believe me when I say read Psalms 91, that whatever come upon you, it will not come nigh you. Read Psalms 91, 1 through 16, and just get that down in your spirit and just keep going to God so that when you are in a time of trouble, he will come and rescue you. That you don't wait till you get in trouble to start. If you are in trouble right now, start putting God at the center of your attraction, the center of your everything. Just know God is God. So, Blog Talk, I thank you all for listening in. I thank you all for joining in. And for those of you who have stayed on the line, thank you all for being continuously supporters of Mile 3E, Sharpening Iron, Blog Talk. We are here every Sunday morning on Blog Talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with our very own Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, our very own Minister Sheila Kaiser, and our very own Minister Brandy Kaiser. We are here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our very own Monday night speaker. This is the fourth Monday, so the speaker for this Monday will be Prophet Antoine Thomas. He will be our speaker this Monday night. Please share all our postings. Keep an eye out on our postings and just know that God is able. This too shall pass, but where are you going to be when it passes? Are you going to still be in the face of God, or are you going to go back to the old? I'm going to be in the face of God, doing what God told me to do. So we're going to stay on that. Good night. We love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody. Good night, Blog Talk. Thank you for joining in, and I would love to hear from you on Sunday morning with our very own Apostle Elect, Cecilia Kaiser. Good night.